On behalf of Calibra and Carasoft, we would like to welcome you to today's podcast, focused around how the DoD is driving decisions from data, where Allison Spring, the AVP for Federal at Calibra, Graham Evans, principal at Booz Allen Hamilton, Howard Levinson, the general manager for Federal at Databricks, and Brian Sheely, the VP of Public Sector at Trifacta, will discuss the value of data for the Department of Defense.
Good afternoon. I want to welcome you to Calibra's first annual government summit. Today, we're featuring a second panel, which is Discover, Understand, and Decide, how the Department of Defense is driving decisions from their data. Today's panel will feature speakers from industry. I'd like to start with some introductions. My name is Allison Spring. I'm from Calibra and run their federal sales division. The next person I'd like to introduce is Howard Levinson, General Manager of Databricks Public Sector.
Hey, Allison, thank you so much for inviting me here today. It's a pleasure to be here with Graham and Brian and yourself. Databricks is a company that was founded by the original creators of Apache Spark, and we deliver a unified analytics platform that allows people to ingest, build out data lakes, and then apply artificial intelligence and machine learning to that data to find insights in their data. And we're happy to participate with you and the rest of the Advana team. Thank you.
Thank you, Howard. We really do value you, your partnership. The next I'd like to introduce is Brian Sheely. Brian is the Vice President of Public Sector for Trifacta.
Thanks, Allison. Brian Sheely here. I run public sector for Trifacta. We're a software company, a late series startup. We're the leader in what's called self-service data preparation. And what we do is we tie into organizations that are rolling out cloud native data platforms and allow them to operationalize data at scale in a self-service driven approach that's low code, extensible, and integratable across the ecosystem. So we've got great partnerships with Calibra and Databricks amongst our peer technology companies. And we've been working with Graham and the team at the Advana project for a couple of years, providing the data wrangling or data preparation component for the Advana platform. Thank you for having me.
Brian, thank you for participating today as well. This panel is going to illustrate how the Department of Defense has worked with multiple different industry partners and come together to deliver a solution that supports a variety of different mission-critical machine learning, artificial intelligence, and advanced analytics projects. I'd like to now introduce Graham Evans from Booz Allen Hamilton to talk a little bit more about his program, Advana.
Sure. Thanks for having me again, Allison. Graham Evans, I'm a principal with Booz Allen Hamilton. I'm in our digital practice, helping our defense clients understand how to organize their enterprise data, make use of it, and generate meaningful analytics. One of our clients is developing the Advana data platform. Advana is a government-run enterprise data platform built on open architecture, leveraging the best-of-breed commercial tools out there in industry, like Calibra, Databricks, and Trifacta, supporting all areas of the data lifecycle. So DoD Comptroller currently runs the data platform, but customers across the DoD are currently leveraging the tools and capabilities and organized data to bring value to their enterprise data across business and mission domains and generate meaningful data products that support executive decision-making as well as decision-making at echelon.
So as part of today's discussion, I'm sure that a lot of people are very interested on how Booz Allen Hamilton was able to not only work with a diverse set of mission goals from the Department of Defense, but also integrate various different technologies to achieve one common goal, and that is making the Department of Defense's data collaborative, useful, and, you know, solve a variety of different mission challenges. So just to kind of kick off the conversation, why don't we talk a little bit more, and if you can tell us, Graham, about the initial success that further enabled DoD users and use cases to the platform. What were some of those first use cases, and how did you really, you know, start proving that to your government leads?
Sure, thank you. So today, Advana is truly enterprise-wide and covers a number of different business and mission domains in terms of its analytic capability, as I mentioned before, but it wasn't always that way. So in the early days of Advana, the OSD Comptroller was really focused on the audit use case. And it's important that they focus on that singular use case because it allowed them to really hone in on specific data management and analytic techniques that would be useful down the road. So the problem they were trying to solve was the comptroller was trying to bring together 20 plus different accounting systems from across every organization within the Department of Defense. And there wasn't really a data platform that was able to accomplish that at the time. This is 4 or 5 years ago. We were able to harness the power of big data solutions, bring that data together, and drive meaningful insights to support the DoD's audit. At that point, you know, there was a realization that with all of this great, rich business information in one place, the Avana platform could provide meaningful insights across different mission areas like logistics, manpower, medical, as well as acquisition and procurement type use cases that are going to be really important for the comptroller to drive performance of the department. And so that's really where it started, and that's how we expanded into these other mission areas you see around the circle here. One of the very first use cases that kind of took off within Advana was what's called the Dormant Account Review Quarterly, relatively straightforward process by which organizations can certify that they don't necessarily have dormant accounts. And if they do within their accounting system, they can give that money back for other purposes. For the first time, we were able to bring all of this data across the department together into one place and identify hundreds of millions of dollars in savings that were able to be repurposed for future use, truly demonstrating the value of bringing together this type of data into one place with the right tools. Since then, we've really invested all of our time in improving the end user experience, increasing automation, and providing capabilities that increase developer productivity to increase the meaningful data products that we have on the platform today.
You know, if I could add something to that, it's OMB did a study a couple of years ago, and there were 12,000 data centers across the federal government. And each one of those data centers had islands of data. And the challenge, if you're trying to find insights in the data, is you've got to bring it together. You've got to normalize it. And like in Advana, they normalize it using Trifacta. They curate it into a data lake using Databricks. They catalog it using Calibra. And then Booz Allen brings this whole thing together. And this same use case is applicable across the government. Everybody's got this same problem. And the only way that you're going to get insights from your data, the more data you have, the better the insights will be. And that's why it's critical to get this data into a data lake. So I think you guys have cracked the code here, Graham, and I think that's why Advana is going to be so valuable to the DoD.
Piggybacking on Howard's comments, which I would say great description from my lens, and I've been fortunate enough to have worked with Graham for a couple of years now. Graham, kind of a bit of a loaded question from my end here, but I think it'd be helpful for the audience. The DoD, from everybody's lens, has ever worked in the space. We understand the complexity is at a high level, but can you just talk about a little bit about like the scale of the data, the number of systems under the umbrella that you're bringing together data into this sort of centralized platform? Can you just comment a little bit on that? Because I think it's very, very telling to people to understand what this complexity actually looks like at scale.
True. Thanks for the question. So when you're thinking about an enterprise analytics platform, and you try to take the lens of, say, a commercial Fortune 500 company, they might have maybe 5 or 6 enterprise systems. They might have an accounting system, an HR system, a billing and a payment system for some of their vendors. And so we might have 5 or 6. The Department of Defense has 3,000 business systems. So when you're trying to make sense of that much data, that many different systems that have different ways of describing a piece of information, it becomes a real challenge. And the only way to do that, the only really way to make sense of it, is to really be data product specific. So instead of trying to solve the problem of getting all the data in the department and putting it in one place, really focusing on your user and focusing on the data product that you're trying to produce that can then generate the very specific data sets that you want to target and bring it into the right platform with the right tools to generate the answers that you're looking for.
That was great. That is really a good explanation of, you know, how the system does support so many different mission use cases and also not bringing in everything all at once. So what you referenced earlier was that initial smaller use case to kind of prove out to the Department of Defense that this was a possibility, kind of defining what the art of the possible was for doing something more with their data rather than just, you know, store it. By using that smaller use case, do you think that really was beneficial in terms of doing that, you know, kind of proof of concept and going into more and other types? I'm looking at this and you have readiness analytics, executive analytics. And I think I'm sure folks that are watching this right now might be interested. How did you determine and evaluate the technologies that were going to be part of your solution?
That's a great question. There's a lot of examples in the government and within industry where big, wide-ranging data projects sort of utterly failed right at the beginning because they maybe tried to bite off more than they could chew for what they're trying to solve. And I think focusing on the technology at first is sometimes the wrong approach, or going after all of the data that you know you need to go after right at the beginning is probably a little bit daunting and can lead to some failures. So not having really that data product focused approach, I think is really the biggest key to success, or having that data product focused approach is the key to our success. And so your question was around, how do we choose the right tools? We had sort of a very specific goal in mind at the beginning, and that was to try and solve the audit problem. So we tailored the analytic capabilities that we're bringing to the platform to support specific personas that we knew, you know, needed to access the data from an audit perspective. And we tailored the tool choices to those personas. As we started to grow and our use cases expanded across all those different data domains and analytic areas that you see there, obviously the personas that we were trying to target, the use cases that we were trying to target became much more diverse, and we needed a larger and more diverse set of tools. So if we have a persona who's a data scientist and they want to get down and dirty with Python or R or Scala and have a very highly scalable, performant analytic engine, then they need a tool like Databricks. If we have someone who's more of a business analyst and who's very familiar with tabular data and wants to very quickly get access to large amounts of information and transform it in a very simple to use low code environment, we choose a tool like Trifacta. So it's very specific to the persona of the analytic user that we're trying to target, as well as the data product that we're trying to produce in the end state is really how we focus on adding in new tools to the platform.
Graham, that was great. Thank you. And I think being able to deliver self-service analytics, I'm sure that has really assisted your users in terms of, you know, getting to their mission, getting, you know, smart about their data and driving towards a lot of those mission outcomes. So let's go kind of in a different direction. Let's talk about how Advana's platform can scale. I mean, that's, I think, another huge topic that we can talk about a little bit. There's a potential for hundreds of thousands of users to, you know, come in and use Advana's platform. How do you look at scaling to something that, you know, something that large? How, you know, what comes into factoring into the tools you know that can scale? What types of technology helps you scale? Is it cloud? How do you address those security concerns? Cloud's been around a really long time, and everyone, you know, always talks about it's a journey to the cloud, you know, but that's been reality for the past, you know, 10 plus years. How do you use this? And this is obviously a real world use case. How do you get that scale that you need, that you can onboard all these different defense entities into your system?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, technology in this space is changing so rapidly. And so I think we look to industry where there's really good examples of organizations scaling rapidly, like Netflix, for example, and, you know, wanting to emulate it as much as possible. But obviously within the Department of Defense, you've got certain security requirements and restrictions that require you to think a little differently about how you architect platforms. But within any data platform approach that we're taking, we know because of the rapidly changing environment that the platform that we're using today isn't going to necessarily be the platform that we're going to be using 2 years from now or even 1 year from now. And so we want to make sure we take advantage of our partners. And I'd love to hear from the other panelists about this topic. But I mean, from a scaling perspective, what we're looking for in terms of the infrastructure that we're selecting and the tools that we're selecting is really around reliability, maintainability, performance, and ultimately, because of the clients we're dealing with, cost obviously is always going to be a factor. And so we take that into our approach. And I also mentioned before about our data product and user-centric approach. And so obviously, when we're thinking about integrating different tool sets and integrating our data experience for our customers, we're really focused on the usability of the tools, the usability of the platform, and the different best of breed tools that we're bringing to the table, their ability to integrate with one another. From an operations perspective, we're relentlessly focused on automation as much as possible. We can't scale to 100,000 users if we have a bunch of manual processes. So obviously any tool or any capability that allows us to automate workflows and data management, for example, like how Calibra and your collaboration tools are, help us scale our data management approach, is very helpful. And then finally, you mentioned cloud, getting out of the day-to-day management of the pipes of data management, the underlying infrastructure, and moving more towards cloud native services seems to be the industry trend. And it's something that we're definitely trying to take advantage of because of its simplicity and reliability that it provides, as well as cost savings. But we recognize the need for flexibility of an open architecture, given how the government procures tools and capabilities. Again, we want to take advantage of the best tools in the marketplace for our users, so we maintain an open architecture related to that. So again, I'd love to hear from the folks on the panel about their thoughts on scalability and the future of tools in the space.
Yeah, I'd love to add to that. Like, scaling is obviously critical, but scaling in a reliable and cost-effective manner, in secure manner, is equally important. I think one of the innovations that, you know, the founders of our company and the founders of this open source Apache Spark capability came up with was the ability to leverage low-cost systems and to actually parallelize the workload across dozens, hundreds, or even thousands of systems to accommodate the scale of massive amounts of data and massive amounts of users. The brilliance in Apache Spark is it pretty much abstracts the developer from the fact that he's running on 100 or 1,000 computers. He just looks like he's using one computer, and he doesn't have to have special skills in order to understand the parallelization techniques that people used years ago. I think the other key point, at least from a Databricks perspective, is the computing has to remain ephemeral. And the way to do this cost effectively in the cloud is to drive all the storage into the low cost but highly durable storage layer that the cloud service providers provide, whether that's S3 in Amazon or ADLS in Azure. These storage environments are really inexpensive, really durable, and the magic is being able to pull the data out of those storage areas and spin up the computing for the period of time that you need it, and then eliminate it and only pay for what you compute. And so that makes it cost effective. And then, of course, we could dive into the security mechanisms and reliability mechanisms that are available here. But I think the fundamental architecture has to support scalability, and it has to do it without putting too much of a burden on the developer.
To add to that, I think great points, Howard and Graham. So when I think about scalability, there's the technical scalability, like the architecture and the way you build. And a couple comments to what Graham and his team at Advana have architected for is, you know, he talked at the very beginning about open systems design. I'm a huge believer in open systems design. I've thought for years that this is the key to the future for large scale software oriented projects. So every component in and around Advana, if you understand the architecture, is got modern APIs, typically RESTful-based APIs, and you can plug and play the right components together. I would describe the architecture approach on the technical side as one of designing for agility. And the sense there that you should get is that, as Graham said, there's tends to be a shelf, I'll call it a life cycle of how long things will be on the shelf before they kind of expire in terms of technologies. And what happens is, you know, like Advana and many of the other shared service programs I've seen in public sector that were quote unquote big data projects over the last, say, dozen years, people stood up these systems and data centers, co-located a bunch of data, and it's like, where's the value? The real difference in Advana is there's real tangible value. The first use case Graham talked about was massive taxpayer benefit, right? There's money sitting around, and now we can reallocate that money and find areas to spend it in without asking for more tax dollars to be spent. But with that being said, what they've really done is had this focus on analysis and delivering data-centric products to users across the DoD and beyond. So from a scalability standpoint, from my lens, it's not just the technology that achieves scalability. It's not just the architecture. It's the approach that the program themselves takes towards an outcome. And one of the things that's been really interesting to watch, having spent, like, I'll call it 20 years working in the public sector space, is as an integrator leading the program, Graham and his team have done an amazing job of picking tools like Databricks, Calibra, Trifacta. There's many other component technologies running in this architecture. But the way they bring it together and deliver it to the user base is really, in my opinion, where the scalability is getting the main benefit for the user community. So there's different personas. And Databricks, if you're building a data science platform and you're looking at best of breed and you truly understand the space, Databricks is absolutely at the top of your shortlist of tools that you're going to look at if you're looking to do that. And the analogy, you know, to kind of to Howard's point around the innovation there, we're all bringing innovation as technology companies. And one of the things about the components that are in there, I can speak from Trifacta's behalf, and certainly I've watched this with Databricks, and I've seen it with Calibra and some of the other component peer technologies as well, is our companies are investing as best of breed tools in these deep sets of capabilities in the modalities that we specialize in, right? So as a data platform, the benefit of choosing Databricks as a cloud native leader is that Apache Spark, if you don't know the history, it's worth Wikipediaing it. It was the fastest growing Apache project, and I think the most pervasive Apache project in the history of the Apache Open Source Foundation. Thousands and thousands of contributors and users. Well, the people that started Databricks were the guys that created that technology. And so, you know, they're thinking years ahead of where compute is going. And then they've innovated with a storage engine component called Delta as well. And basically what's happened is the days of people wanting to set up and manage infrastructure and plumbing, for years, people would say, well, the DoD is never going to move to the cloud. It's too hard. It's too this, it's too that. You know, this is a testament to the fact that, oh, the DoD is definitely going to the cloud, and anybody working in it knows that. And the analogy that I think about is it's like this. If you're going to go build a house on a new property, you don't also go and build a windmill and a dam to create power for yourself. You plug into the grid and you consume that as a utility. And the beauty of the architecture of Advana is taking these best of breed components, wrapping it in a great go-to-market strategy where truly, you know, this is a shared service. It's like any other shared service in the DoD. The stick doesn't work. The carrot works. And from my lens, Advana offers a great carrot for users across the DoD that want capability in the analytics, business intelligence and reporting, data cataloging, data governance, and data ops toolset spaces, but also they want the outcome of those analytics and what that will drive to the program value. And the way that Graham and team and leadership at Advana put this together is very innovative. It's, in my opinion, by far, it's currently the most advanced data platform in and around not only the DoD, but that I've seen in the public sector in terms of depth, breadth of capability, and then also an agile design that will continue to scale because of the technologies, the architecture, and the overall management of the program.
You know, there's one other important factor to Advana that bears notice, and that is that if you're building a scalable environment and you're going to put tons of data in there, you really want to do it using open protocols and open capabilities. And I think one of the things, 20 years ago, the number one word processing platform was WordPerfect. If you had a WordPerfect file today, there'd practically be no way to read it. And the fact in Advana is all of that data is going into Amazon S3. It's going in there using an open format. Databricks has open sourced the Delta format. Exabytes of data are processed every week with Delta. The fact of the matter is that anybody that wants to read that data can with open APIs, and that data will never be locked up because the source code is out there. It's available. It's not dependent on Databricks, and it adds value to the program. So the open source nature of this ensures that the government's not going to get locked in and not going to have to pay a tax every time they want to read their data. And I think that's a really powerful, you know, point. I don't know, Graham, you seem to agree with that.
Overarching theme is what you brought up, Howard, vendor lock-in. Or when you move advance in time that you're not going to be able to access a file, or, you know, it's going to become difficult to translate it and keep up with new technologies. So, you know, that's a really important thing. And that's been just a key theme. And I think almost every government agency is avoiding that vendor lock-in or avoiding something that is proprietary, not open, you know, closed systems. And I think, you know, this system truly illustrates this ability to, you know, have open systems working with one another and that compatibility.
There's another comment there around vendor lock and innovation related to this type of design. So one of the things a lot of program leaders in my experience don't think about is they choose best of breed based on where they are today. They'll say, well, these guys, this company over here has this great tool. And what they don't realize is that if you're choosing things that are not allowing you to perform openly with the data itself in an interoperable API-driven fashion, what ends up happening is, number one, you're locking yourself into tools because now you've got some sort of proprietary component or proprietary format that you have to deal with. But what you're also doing is you're stifling competition in the marketplace. If you want, for example, Trifacta to remain the leader in self-service data preparation, the best thing to do to us is light a fire behind us by making the data accessible to anybody. And what we have to do is continue to bring feature function and interoperability to play with Databricks and Calibra and provide real operational value for the users of the system so that the integrator, the person, the people like Graham's team that are bringing those capabilities to the customer base, as that demand continues to evolve, we as component vendors in these modalities continue to evolve and invest in those areas for the future. And that's the other part about vendor lock-in. That's kind of the dirty secret people don't talk about. It's not just a cost issue. It's really an innovation issue.
I was just going to agree with both Howard and Brian about that topic. The way we see IT procurement right now, especially around this data platform space, is very similar to what was just described. It's this concept that because the technology space is changing so rapidly, and because the acquisition lifecycle for the government is relatively slow compared to industry, tool choices have to be made with a lot of care. You definitely don't want to get locked into a specific architecture or tool choice that's going to become redundant in a few years. And then, you know, from the government's perspective, the adversary might take advantage. So we have to be able to be agile in terms of the tool choices on a particular value chain and be able to make substitutions if necessary. Now, I think there's just been so much advancement today. And like you said, the cloud infrastructure and then data engineering tools that we've talked about, and then data science capabilities, that there's a lot of options out there. But there are some, I think, that we've talked about that have really risen to the top in terms of their specific area of focus. And so the concept, as Brian mentioned, about open systems and open architecture is really something that we've adopted. So being able to integrate via API to your data storage, to your compute, to your data wrangling capabilities, and then all the way through to your data visualization and data science tool sets is something that we really value. And getting the best of breed in all of those areas is something that we're striving for.
Thank you, Graham. And we talk about multi-tenant scalability, the data engineering behind it, subject matter expertise, leadership in, you know, very specific data-centric areas, and also the security that wraps around it. I mean, Advana has truly illustrated that this is something that the government is ready for. I mean, you have so many users that are, you know, wanting to onboard or have onboarded into the Advana platform. Let's talk and go back a little bit and talk about how that works. You know, someone comes to you and they have an idea and, you know, they come and they say, we've got X, Y, and Z as a data problem, or we're trying to address this mission challenge. You know, we need to save money because we don't know our supply chain needs that well. Can you talk a little bit more about that and the customer experience team and how user experience and design kind of plays into all of that?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think I mentioned before, our approach towards bringing new capabilities to Advana is really our data product-centered approach. So it always starts with focusing on the customer and their business problem that they're trying to solve before we start to think about anything else related to tool sets or data or that sort of thing. And focusing heavily, once we understand that problem set, focusing heavily on the user experience is something that we have been used for, you know, successful onboarding of new users to the platform so that they fully integrate into the platform. Their data experience is something that they value, and that leads to increased adoption, which then leads to scaling of use cases. But typically what happens when a new customer will come to the government organization that runs Advana, they will have a problem and they will have an analytic problem that they need to solve. They've got a bunch of data. They may not have the talent, the tools, or the funding to be able to support it on their own. And I think that's where Advana really shines. It being a shared service data platform, the goal here is to provide a value proposition to the department where, you know, an organization can get access to their data quickly. They don't have to stand up infrastructure. They don't have to go out and get a months-long accreditation for a new system. They don't have to go through a lengthy procurement process for a new contract, for example. It's really about, I have money, I have a problem, let me give it to this organization, Advana, and they can help me solve it. They can either partner with me to solve it, or they can give me the tools and the access to my data so that I can go and solve it myself. And that model has really been the key to continued success. I honestly think in the future of this space, you're going to see less and less of one-off data platform, you know, development activities, because there are a couple of different examples of very successful shared service data platforms that support enterprise level use cases throughout DoD. I don't think there's ever going to be a time where there's a single repository for all DoD data, because there's very specific security requirements that might make that difficult, or very specific, very large scale data problems that might make that a little bit challenging. But I do think we're going to start to see a consolidation of this specific use case of a shared service data platform on a couple of larger enterprise scale platforms like Advana, and also being supported by vendors like Trifacta and Databricks. So, Brian, have you seen something similar in your work across, let's say, Air Force or Army or any other organizations like that in DoD?
Yeah, I would say specifically speaking to DoD, Graham, there's certainly a move. And to your point, I echo your sentiment. I think that you're going to see less sort of one-off creations of organizations standing up a platform for their own program solely. The Air Force is doing a really nice job with the platform called Vault. That's the enterprise data platform there. Coincidentally, Howard and the Databricks team, ourselves, who's Alan Hamilton, we're all involved in that. So there's definitely some, you know, this famous phrase, right? Amateurs borrow and professionals steal. Who borrowed and stole what, who knows, but I think that paradigm has definitely shifted, where we're going to continue to see, particularly for the analysis component, we're going to see moves to these shared services. There's certainly never going to be a lack of new systems to collect data at the transactional and system of record level. I just think the nature of creating data within programs, that's what programs do, and the cloud may even make that more pervasive. But I do think that in the analysis piece, to leverage that, you absolutely need to consolidate, co-locate data in a cloud-native, extensible way, and have an approach that allows users of different persona, different skill, different business need to quickly operationalize data for their needs. And fundamentally, what it comes down to is, you know, for anybody in the DoD that's read General Mattis's 2018 National Defense Strategy, it's all about time. That's really what it comes down to. I mean, we spent, as a country, billions of dollars. But what's nice about this paradigm shifting is you're starting to see time to insight rapidly speed up. And it's because of these technologies that we're mentioning, but really the program approach in and of itself. So again, like Air Force is doing that. Graham, you can probably talk a little bit more about maybe what the Navy's doing. And not only are they interested in what Advana is doing, but they're literally investing in Advana. I think you should talk about that. But I happen to know that the Army's headed that route as well, based on what I've read. And then we're in the intelligence community and the rest of the public sector. There's like State Department, for example, it's public. They have stood up a thing called Center for Analytics. And again, like that need to co-locate data for more intelligent, more broad-reaching insight is not changing at all. It's continuing to gain steam. That's kind of my perspective there.
It goes back to what I was saying before about managing the pipes or managing the infrastructure. The complexity of these types of environments just make it almost kind of a high barrier to entry to stand up a new capability like this and get started quickly and really address the emerging needs that these defense clients have in terms of harnessing their data and using it for decision-making purposes. So you mentioned the Navy, they're taking a look at Advana as basically the backbone of their solution. They have their own capability called Jupiter that they've stood up using the same reference architecture that Advana uses, a lot of the same shared services, but they've been able to take advantage of that and stand it up very quickly because they started with an existing platform, an existing set of best of breed tool sets.
So I'd love to add a couple of comments to what you just said there. I remember in the nuclear industry in the United States, it really failed because every single power utility built their own nuclear reactor with their own set of processes and procedures. The thing that I think, Graham, you understate is the experience that Booz Allen brings to the party here. I think, correct me if I'm not mistaken, but I think you guys have 1,000 certified data scientists in the organization there. And I also noticed that like 85%, according to Gartner, 85% of all the big data projects failed. And I think the thing that works well for Databricks and Booz Allen is we've done this before. And we've done it before for the Air Force with Vault. We've done it at the FBI on Prometheus. We've done it together at the NGA, at the VA. And we found a set of principles that work. And the experience that Booz Allen brings to the platform and the experience working with Databricks, Trifacta, and Calibra, I think has given us a recipe for success that is replicatable for other agencies as well. It's not your first rodeo.
I mean, just to echo on some of the topics that we've talked about, user experience, so important, the rising costs of infrastructure. I know for 10, 12 years, I sold storage and servers. You know, when cloud became so prominent and it showed that there was a way to be able to, especially with the government that has very, you know, predictable budgeting cycles, that they could be able to get what they need from a service without having to worry that they need to go buy a server, add storage, you know, so really driving home the importance of this is, you know, just not only saving money, but it's also saving, you know, saving time. It's getting people to, you know, that time to value that you all brought up. Everyone has a lot of data, but, you know, really, what do they do with it? Is it interoperable? Is it, you know, proprietary, just, you know, kind of breaking down all of those barriers is what to me is really very just cool about Advana and what you've done with this program. And that would be leading up to our final kind of question for my panel here is, given the success that you've seen so far with proving all these different use cases, where do you see Advana going? Where do you see the Department of Defense going? What kinds of problems, challenges, what's 2021 look like? I know we've all had a crazy year with 2020.
In 2020, Advana really saw an uptick in usage because of its ability to respond very quickly to the COVID-19 crisis. And that's obviously a very big topic of interest to the new administration, as well as the Defense Department writ large in the country. And so I think that's been able to use that as a point of inflection where we've started to take on more and more different complex use cases that require flexibility in terms of what data is needed, what questions need to be answered, what types of analytic techniques and capabilities are involved in supporting those types of new meaningful data products that we're producing. From a future perspective, you know, we always talk on Advana about not really wanting to focus on bringing on more data or focusing on bringing on more users, but it's really working with customers to find more interesting and relevant business problems to solve, because that will translate into tools and techniques and more data as well. And you mentioned the user experience. The Advana government team, I think, are some of the most innovative group of leaders that we have in the Defense Department when it comes to focusing on the user experience. And so first and foremost, any problem that we try and solve, it's really drilling down into the specific persona and user journey about how an individual is going to interact with a dashboard or a model or even just a report that we might be generating. And that's been really helpful in terms of increasing customer adoption across the board. And I think that's how we're going to continue forward, is really focusing on challenging problems that we can solve across the department and then focusing on that user experience to ensure adoption and delivery of that capability.
Now, and that's great because really, I think 2020 illustrated to a lot of people that, you know, the remote work from home situation, all these collaborative tools are a possibility. You know, things that looked to be really hard in 2019, I think actually became reality when everyone was sort of put into, you know, different work environments, working from home, not being in their data center. I can see that as a huge driver towards your platform and just the ability, and with the user experience being, you know, so tailored and customized, it's provided just a platform that folks can use that have a problem and don't have to think about, I need to hire what I think Howard O'Brien said, 1,000 data scientists. You know, most organizations don't have the ability to even maybe hire one or two data scientists. And, you know, just another question for the panel is, you know, what are the types of trends and things that you're seeing in terms of futures of 2021 in data?
I think for me, and what I see is a major trend that we're calling lakehouse. And the idea here is that typically people are building out data lakes and they're separately building out data warehouses. And that's causing a replication in the amount of data, which is expensive. You end up with two governance models, which open up vulnerabilities. You might have different versions of the data, which could cause inaccurate results. And so one of the things that we're bringing to market is this idea of a lakehouse, where you combine the best of a data lake and the best of a data warehouse. And with Databricks and our SQL analytics capability, all of the data that sits in your data lake now appears as though it's in a data warehouse. And you can bring your BI tools as Advantamite with Qlik or with Tableau or whatever else. And now you're not limited to just the data that you've curated and put into the data warehouse. You have the ability to unleash that BI tool on all of the data within your data lake without ever making a copy of it, and with a single version of truth for all of your data. I think that's going to transform the industry. I think ultimately data warehouses are going to, you know, they've survived for 40 years, but I think they're going to be dead. And I think, you know, it's going to be a data sitting in an object store with a platform like Databricks to query it. So I think that's a major change for business.
Yeah, so that's definitely an interesting paradigm, Howard. I would echo that, you know, the lakehouse concept, I've heard it, I think, from you before. And that's a good way to describe sort of the model that we're seeing. Fundamentally, the big trend that I've been seeing for a couple of years now is this move to shared service platforms that are truly self-service driven. Allison, you've not talked a whole lot about Calibra, but what I would say is, like, in all of these platforms, you have some fundamental needs, right? One is you need a platform to be able to process the data flexibly, extremely scalably, in a highly performant and secure manner, where the user community on the technical side can bring whatever tools they want. Because I believe on the technical side, like your data scientists, data engineers, they use a lot of open source. They're coders by nature, so they don't need robust business tools with great interfaces. They're just going to bring the latest, greatest thing, and they want accessibility to the data and the power to process it. And that's where, like, a Databricks comes in. You know, you need a great structure around cataloging the data and managing, curating, storing the data. The Data Act has driven that across public sector. Every organization has data strategies in the public sector, you know, from large federal agencies down to even local municipalities. You know, Calibra brings an awesome cataloging component there. You need to curate, manage, and integrate the data in a way that is robust, supports not only the technical use cases, but, you know, the dummies like me that I just want to put together a sales report, right, or a market report. And I've got to pull data from four different data sources. I can go to the where it's stored, leverage a Trifacta, and then in Trifacta, we can hand it off for the processing to Databricks. All of this really comes together, in my opinion, and here's the main trend that I was getting at, is it's really around self-service. And one of the things that, again, Graham is a very modest person, just from working with him, and I'll tell you that I have not seen any other integrator, either government-led or systems integrator-led, take a true self-service approach to a shared service. And I've been working in shared service IT for, like, I'll call it almost 20 years, where people have forever been saying, well, why do we have all these systems? Let's, like, set one thing up. And what happens is, if you set something up and it's got great capability, but it's hard to use, It's like being a startup as a software company. You could have the greatest design of your software ever, but if it's hard for people to use, hard for them to get access to, guess what? You're going to die in the vine. And what I think the Vanna team has really done, and Graham's a key part of that leadership, is this concept of self-service, self-service analytics, being able to analyze the data for your needs in a timely fashion when it's relevant is really critically key for everybody. And I think that's the one design paradigm. If you take nothing else from this, I think looking at the technical architectures, the best of breed component ideas and open design, and thinking about self-service as a strategy, if you're a shared service, that is how you're going to get the benefit. You can't do it any other way. And that's not just choosing tools. There's really a great approach. And I would highly encourage anybody to come to Advanta. You can go to the catalog and look in Calibre and see what data is available, but really meet with the team, because it's not just tools. They don't just throw the tools over the wall. There's a whole enablement strategy. And really, you know, any modern software company that's cloud-based has a customer success effort, where years ago, people would buy software and then they would pay for support and they'd get breaks, fix support, and have to go out and buy consulting when they needed ongoing help. Well, these are projects, they evolve. And as Graham was saying, what that North Star looks like today for somebody working on an analytics project is going to be different probably 6 months from now. And if nothing else with COVID-19, I think what we all realized is, man, the data is out there. But if we can't put it together quickly, scalably, and effectively, we can't do analysis. And here we are, what, 13 months into the pandemic, you know, and we're starting to see a light at the end of the tunnel. But I would say, like, the silver lining of the last year, in my opinion, is people really are taking to heart this concept of, we need to allow people to operationalize and analyze data quickly at scale in a self-service fashion that's extensible, pluggable, and cloud native. And that's kind of the pattern we're seeing over and over again.
That's a great summary of, you know, really just how this year has made a lot of users just, you know, kind of evolve and realize these things are possible. But these things are possible because there's teams of folks like Graham's team at Booz Allen that have built solutions that enable, you know, that self-service capability. And you're 100% correct. If something is hard to use, people don't use it. I mean, there are internal business systems that when you log on every day, you're like, oh gosh, I hope I don't have to use this system. So, you know, driving user experience and that self-service capability, I think, is truly key. Again, I want to thank everyone who's participated today. Brian Sheely from Trifacta, Howard Levinson from Databricks. And Graham, if you want to finish it off, again, what your team has done and built with the data science capability and bringing, you know, that true time to value is one of the most impressive projects that I have seen that's ongoing and constantly evolving. So when we talk about what's next, I look forward to seeing it.
Yeah, thanks so much. Yeah, it's definitely an exciting time to be working in this space with emerging data challenges always becoming available to us, and having the partners that we have on this call today to help us work through those things, as well as the Advanta government team, who is truly, like I said, visionaries in making this a true shared service, self-service capability for the entire Department of Defense. It's certainly been an honor to be a part of this. I look forward to seeing how we grow and scale throughout the rest of this year.
Thank you so much to all. If there are any questions, our team is here to support you. And we look forward to seeing what comes next with Advanta and how the DoD data strategy shapes all the different mission critical self-service requirements that you're going to serve up with Advanta and the tools that we all offer together. Thank you.
Thanks for listening. If you'd like more information on how Carahsoft or Calibre can assist your organization, please visit www.carahsoft.com or email us at calibre@carahsoft.com. Thanks again for listening and have a great day.